Taking what's hardest to Holy Ghost. In this teaching, Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us that He is a safe harbor. He is truly our comforter and helper. And that whatever we are enduring, whatever we are going through, whatever we are looking to overcome, He is the one who will help us. He is the one who will get us through. And He is the one who is our confidant. The one we can talk to completely free, completely open, revealing all. As believers, we tend to still do a lot of self-help, a lot of self-reliance in our daily lives, in the issues that we have to confront and overcome. And because of that, we then tend to not feel it is safe to be open with Holy Spirit about all things, everything, every part of ourselves, every issue, every emotion. He's there. We will sometimes have the worst thoughts about others. Maybe others that have hurt us, disappointed us, betrayed us. We will have horrific thoughts, but we will think we have to bury them in Christianese, in acting like Christians, in trying to be good, in attempting to convince everybody, including ourselves, that we don't think like that. But Holy Spirit knows us inside and out. He lives in our hearts. So if we are thinking those thoughts, they are already revealed to the living God. So it is best then to take them to Him, to repent of what is not right, and to ask Him to cleanse us, and also to ask Him to help us. Because usually when we're thinking things that are so negative about other people, it's because we've been hurt, terribly hurt. And that's our way of coping, that's a way of venting, that's a way of letting that pain seep out. Now He wants us to know that He is safe, that you literally can tell Him anything. And again, we're going to use one of those practical examples because it's really important for us to see how practical and how real Holy Spirit is as a person living in us, one that we can come to about everything. So let's use it for instance. Let's say that someone is in a situation where there is a major conflict with someone in their lives, whether it is a spouse, whether it is a family member, whether it is a workmate, a neighbor, it doesn't matter. But such a major conflict that you would almost wish the person would die rather than having to handle it. We can get to that point. We can get into such misery that we'll have thoughts like that about people. Now that's not something we should promote or encourage in ourselves, but it does happen. Because what does He say? Be angry and sin not. And yet what Jesus said is if you hate someone, that to Him is considered murder. So those are the standards of the living God. We can't meet them without Him. We can't meet them on our own. We can't meet them by self-will. So when we're feeling those kind of things, having those kinds of thoughts, instead of burying them, we can go to Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to walk with Him. Just go somewhere quiet, perhaps a country walk, perhaps somewhere where no one else is, an isolated beach, and just talk aloud to the one who made you and tell Him, this is the kind of thing I'm thinking. This person has hurt me so badly. This person has destroyed my confidence and made me feel as if I'm nothing. This person has used me and betrayed me and manipulated and lied. And I wish they were dead. Tell Him. I mean, it's a horrible thought. It's a horrible feeling. But if we do not admit it and we pretend we don't feel it, it will never be dealt with. It's safe to be real with the living God. He knows that we will sin. He says that if we say we do not sin, we're liars, or we've made Him a liar. We do sin. We do make mistakes. We do get it wrong, sometimes intentionally. sometimes by mistake. In any case, there is repentance, which is a sweet drink of God. Repentance brings freedom. Repentance brings life. Without it, you have no life, because you will bury the dead inside of you. You will bury the pain. You will bury the anger. You will bury the resentment. You will bury the unforgiveness. You will hide it through addiction. You will hide it through super religious activities. You will hide it through nervous disorders. But it still will be there. And he is saying, as he always says, come to me. Trust me with all of yourself. He says, pour out your heart, all you people, in Psalm 62. Trust in him, for he is your refuge. You can pour out your heart to him. He is not going to mock you. He is not going to betray you. He's not going to lie to you. He will tell you exactly how it is. He may chasten you. We have to be open to that. Because as he does, we grow in him. As he prunes us, we grow more and more into the image of Christ. When Jesus, by his very body on the cross, tore the veil, the separation between man and God, he meant it for eternity, that anyone who chose to believe in him, to commit themselves to him, to trust in him, would be able to have that union with God the Father through the Spirit. So if we have that union, being ourselves, being real with him is crucial and is expected. We aren't to put on pretenses with God as if we could fool him anyway. We reap what we sow. He will not be mocked, he says. So let us sow honesty and bare our souls and our hearts to him, and we will reap his glory. Often I'm asked of people how to be real with him, how to approach him, what's safe to say, what isn't safe to say. Everything's safe to say to Holy Ghost, everything. And you know, I have found a key in experiencing that freedom with him is by just saying what you really feel right then, right there. Sometimes he'll even ask you, what hurts about this most? I'm always stunned when he asks me that, because he really cares. He doesn't think your problems are flippant or don't matter. He's concerned with how you are. He's concerned with your heart, the nature of your heart, the condition of your heart, the direction of your heart is of the utmost importance to him. And if your feelings are negative and twisted and mangled, it is going to affect your heart. And that's his job. He sanctifies us. He keeps us clean. And we are in agreement with that by repenting, by giving over to him what is not of God. We don't hold on to it. Because if we do, we will end up like some of the people that we have seen, perhaps recently in many people's lives, I've certainly seen it, that have fallen away because they didn't believe they needed to repent. They didn't believe anything was wrong. They thought their direction was fine. They never examined themselves to see if they were in the faith, as Paul said to the Corinthians. They just made the assumption, I confessed him, I live part-time for him, that must be good enough. It's not good enough. Lukewarm is not good enough. And if any of us are ever lukewarm, we better be on our knees asking him to do whatever is necessary to cleanse us, to pour his fire on us, whatever is necessary to bring us to a place of true commitment to him. Because he will spit us out of his mouth otherwise. He doesn't want halfway Christians. He wants your whole being, your whole heart, your whole mind. What are we to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all of you. He wants all of you. And nothing less. And the only way he can have all of you is if you give him all of you. So if you're in a difficult situation, and we all will undergo those Some of us more than others. Some because of our own poor choices. Some because the enemy is just relentless attacking. Some because we might even have a merciful, tender heart and we get ourselves into situations that we shouldn't because we feel sorry for people. It can be a myriad of reasons, but whatever they are, whatever the cause of it, we need to give him the hurt, the pain, the reality of how we really feel, the anger, the wanting the person to disappear off the face of the earth, if that is the case. All of it, so we can be clean before him. And the best way to start is to just talk to him. Often aloud, that for me is very helpful. It may not help others. Sometimes people like to be silent. Sometimes they like to write. It doesn't matter what style you take, as long as you're being yourself. And you start with, I feel like this, fill in the blank, Holy Spirit. I am so hurt. I am so angry. I never thought it would turn out like this. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you stop me? Whatever we need to say. I mean, we're blaming him, but he's obviously not at fault. But we can even say those things. He's not going to come against us. And if we're in the wrong and he's had enough of it, he will chasten you. And thank God for that, because that means you are his son or daughter. So find your country walk, or your beach combing, or your special spot on your porch, wherever it is, and fess up. Just pour it out before him. And you will find you will get peace from that. Because once you have released all of that built-up emotion, because we are emotional creatures. Jesus had emotions. We have emotions. We're made in the image of God. Once we release that built-up emotion, even if it's a vent upon him, even if we're blaming him, it doesn't matter. As long as we do not continue in the blame for years and years and years. Do you know the only reason that people will do that is because they've never gone to him and really said how they felt? Do you know, once, say you have a friend, we'll just use it in human terms, and you've been best of friends. They did something really terrible and really shocking to you. They might not have meant it that way, but that's how you took it. And then you have this separation between you and this distance and this hardness and this wall. And finally, one day they call you and you're stunned and your heart beats rapidly because you have all this emotion that you've buried for a while since you've spoken to them last. And they talk to you about it. They reveal what they had thought. They reveal their feelings. They talk to you. You begin to open up. You talk to them. And you find that you're still friends. And you want to meet again. And it's like that with Holy Spirit. It's like that with the Father. It's like that with the Son. If you are harboring things against God, because you don't understand what's happened, you don't understand why people have turned out the way they have, or your children, or your spouse, and you're angry with him about it. Not that it's his fault, but you think he should have done something. And if you finally go to him, like that friend who calls you up, if you finally go to him, and you don't have to go far, he lives in you, so you know it's not a big distance, you don't need an airline ticket. You go to him and you tell him, Lord, why didn't you stop me? Why did you let me go that way? Or why did you allow this person into my life? I thought they were somebody that I was supposed to help and care for and sow into, and they've turned out to be a complete maniac that's almost destroyed me. Why did you do that? You ask him. You are allowed to ask him anything. You are allowed to be free, to be yourself. And he will answer you. He may answer you in something like this. Could I have stopped you from going in that direction? And you'll have to be honest. Oh, no, because I really thought that person was important and that you wanted them to be with me and, you know, whatever your reasons. You'll work it out. You'll dialogue. You know, we have dialogue with God because he's a living God. And does he not speak all the time? He has a whole book written. Just like the animals that he's called, that I'm next to right now, a whole sheep paddock. He makes creatures to speak. He made us to speak. And because I'm speaking, I think they're speaking. See, it's dialogue. We're having a dialogue here. Me and the sheep and their little lambs. This is life. He wants us to have life and life more abundant with him. And that isn't about huge cars and big mansions. It's about a living relationship with the living God. But you can't have that if you shut up, shut down, and hide from what's really going on inside of you. And you'll end up, there are some people I have seen, they have fallen in a heap, they have crashed and burned, and they've turned away from him. And they might even think they're still his. But they've actually walked away. Their lives show it. They're not living as his anymore. Their words are empty, their actions mean nothing. They do the things that do not please him, and in a habitual way. And their lives have become meaningless. So we don't want to go down that road. Let us not go down that wide path. Let us go down the narrow, where only he is, keeps us from veering off to the left or to the right. He calls us his children. What do you do with children? If you have children, do you tell them to always shut up, never come to you, never discuss their feelings? Just do as I say? Or do you have a relationship with them? Where sometimes they say, Mommy or Daddy, I'm scared. Or Mommy, I didn't like when you did that. I had that once with my son. And he was a very young little boy. And told me that I had hurt his feelings. I was shocked. I cried. I asked him to forgive me. And he took his fat little hands, held me, put his little arms around me, his tiny little fat hands, and he patted my back. He said, "That's okay, Mommy." And I was just amazed, the mercy of the child. All he wanted to know that, yes, you cared about my feelings and you would admit that you were wrong. That was part of the growing and the strengthening of our relationship. And that has to be ongoing with God. You know, we can't ever say he's wrong. But we can think that he is, and we can tell him that we think so. Why did you do such and such? Why did you allow this? Why didn't you help me there? Why aren't you here with me now when I'm hurting so badly? It's not even true. But we need to tell him, because that's what's true inside of us. That's what we feel. It's not that he's abandoned us. It's not that he's left us. It's not that he didn't care. It's that we went our own way, and now we're blaming him because the consequences did not turn out the way we wanted. But that's okay for us to tell him that, because you'll get to a place where you'll be honest with yourself through him, and you will admit to him, yes, you made your own way, and you caused this problem, or you were blindsided, or you didn't want to see. But whatever the case is, you'll be growing in him. You'll be growing in depth of relationship, like deep, rich soil. That's where it grows the best. That's where your seed of faith grows the best. Not in some dry soil, sandy soil, soil that never gets watered. When you're real with Holy Ghost, you are watering the soil that the seed of faith has been planted in. That's what he wants you to know. Don't run away from me. Don't hide from me. Don't think you can go somewhere different. And I won't be there. What does he say in Psalm 139? If I go down to the depths of the sea, you are there. If I go down to Sheol, which was the place of death for the people of Israel, you are there. If I go to the heights, you are there. Where can I go from you? And now he lives in us, so we really can't go anywhere without him. It's like we are the carriers of precious cargo. What does he say? In these earthen vessels, the excellence of his power is in us. But it's not ours, it's of God. So what Holy Spirit basically wants us to know is don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Tell me everything. If it takes you 2 hours to blurt it out, I don't mind. I just want to know your heart. And the only way I can know it is if you share it with me. And that doesn't mean that he doesn't know you anyway, and he doesn't know what's going on inside of you and every thought and every feeling. He means if you don't share it with him, if you don't volunteer that heart, you're not going to be able to give it to him. Whether it's pain or burden or joy even, you won't be able to give anything to him. We can't share. If we're eating a meal and we keep all the food to ourselves, the other person doesn't get any. Well, for him, our feelings, our hearts, what's going on with us is the food that we give to him to share that meal. And when we're done, we both get full. So he says, come to me. I am a safe harbor. I am your true comforter, your true teacher, your holy counselor, and I will give you rest.